The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's community radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go. Kaboom, kaboom, kaboom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm here.
What was
I'm
kaboom, kaboom, kaboom? That's or was it boom, kick, chicka boom, chicka boom?
Yeah, but I can't do that.
You can't do boom, chicka boom, chicka boom? Well, you know, with your mouth, you know, your words.
Well, I know your words, but boom, chicka, I never boom. Get it right.
With your body, you mean? Or with your mouth? Boom, chicka boom, chicka boom, chicka
boom. This is going into layers I'm not expecting.
I'd like to know where that boom, chicka boom thing started. Maybe in the 20s?
That boom, sounds, chicka, it sounds boom. Natural.
It was always in the movies when that sexy girl
sexy
came
girl.
Out. Boom,
oh,
chicka
yeah.
boom. I don't think anymore. I don't think they do that anymore.
Not if they're smart.
No. Yeah, it's pretty tame. Anyway, I'm Lynn.
And I'm Bev.
And together we are
Stuff.
And we're full of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we are here to grace your car or your kitchen or your office or your living room or wherever. Every Thursday morning, 8:30 in the morning.
And WTBR, we don't get paid for it either.
89.7 FM. And
WSBR 88.1 from Lee.
Lee, Massachusetts.
And do I have a true or false? Yes, I do. Do you have a quote?
I do. We're right on the ball. We're right on the ball. We have someone else that wants to be on our show, by the way. I told her you can. She said, I can? I said, yes.
Just got to plan it.
Yeah, and of course we have others that want to come back, which we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to thank you all for your emails. And that's it.
Okay.
Quote of the day. Doubt is a killer.
Oh, boy.
You just have to know who you are and what you stand for. Jennifer Lopez said that.
Did she now?
Yeah.
I wonder where she got it.
Oh, she probably read it somewhere. No, maybe it did come directly from her. And so that's what Jennifer Lopez
okay.
has to share for today.
J-Lo.
J-Lo.
All right, true or false? And let's see, I have two that are false and one that is true. Number one, the blue whale is the biggest animal to have ever lived. Number two, when you cross a horse with a zebra, it's called a hobra. Number three, cauliflower is the only vegetable that's also a flower.
Mmm. I think I know which one of these is definitely false. So, we will repeat that at the top of the second half of our show.
Yes.
And we have an announcement.
Yes.
89.7 WTBR FM is proud to announce our seventh annual one-day on-air fundraiser. The event will take place on Thursday, November 20th from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Don't miss our guests, including local dignitaries and your friends and neighbors from the community. There will be plenty of incentives you can win, including restaurant gift certificates, tickets to local cultural attractions, and much more. You can make your donation to the Rock Box right now at WTBRFM.com. Don't miss the sixth annual one-day on-air fundraiser live from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, November 20th, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., only on 89.7 FM, WTBR-FM, and all day live on the WTBR Facebook page. Cool. Thank you for supporting this place.
Yes.
And we'll be here, too.
We will.
And would you like to talk together?
Would I like to talk about what?
About the wreath auction.
Oh, this December, just like every December, there's a wreath auction happening at Cultural Pittsfield offices.
December 6th.
December 6th. And there, last year we made maybe a little over $3,000 for the food pantry. And all the sales of these wreaths go to the food pantry.
What's
South Congregational?
That's the church on South Street, the corner of Church Street and South Street in Pittsfield.
Right.
Go ahead.
So come along if you need a wreath, and who knows what you'll find.
Lots of people are making wreaths. Bev made 5 wreaths.
I couldn't help it.
I made 1 wreath. And
there's still time.
There's still time if you'd like to make a wreath. If you don't want to make a wreath, you can just head on over there on December 6th. I think it begins at 4.
And think about it. The money goes to the kids.
Yes, food.
It really
food
does.
For kids. So there you have it.
Yay.
Is there someone that they can contact if they'd like to make a wreath? Do we remember that?
Jennifer Glockner.
Jennifer Glockner.
Who is the big boss.
I think you
She's
may...
the director.
She's the director of the food pantry?
No, she's the director of Berkshire Cultural.
Berkshire Cultural. So yeah. Someone can Google that. I don't have the number.
Okay.
All righty. What do you have to share today?
Interesting things.
Oh, that's so good, because
you have a plethora of things over there.
I have stuff I think I've already talked about on here that I reprinted or something, but we will get through it.
You're taller in the morning than at night. Did you know that?
Yes.
When you wake up in the morning, you're about 1 centimeter taller, a centimeter. That's because at night when you're lying down, the spine stretches and decompresses, but throughout the day, the soft cartilage between your bones gets squashed and compressed.
That's not much taller. It's not much
not
taller.
Not much, a centimeter.
Yeah.
How can you measure that?
Yeah. I don't know why it even matters.
It's just an interesting thing.
No. You know what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, right?
Don't try on shoes until later in the day.
Yeah. Don't hem your skirt.
Right.
Hem your skirt. Doesn't that sound like a 1960s?
It does.
I've got to go home and hem my skirt.
I put on the blouse this morning, and I didn't have anything else that goes with it, so I found this sweater, and I said, I look like a granny.
We are. what was I going to say? Oh, hem the skirt. Remember? Oh, you didn't have. Well, you did when you bought jeans. Did you have a problem? Did you have to hem them?
No. I wasn't allowed to buy jeans.
Pants, slacks.
Sure.
Trousers.
Yeah.
You had to hem them.
Yeah.
I had to take the hems down. Nothing was ever long enough.
Or
I had to
add
take
hems
them down.
To them.
And we would add rickrack. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Or wide ribbon to the bottom.
Yep.
And then there's the thing we would do where we would take the hems down and then sit in front of TV with a pin and pull the threads out from the bottom to make them all frayed. And you just sit there and watch and just keep pulling the threads out.
I never did the frayed thing.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I did. And I learned that if you just wash the jeans after you've taken the hem down, it will begin to fray all by itself. Yeah. Now, sometimes.
I don't think it's fashion, is it?
No, I don't think so. Now, when I look for slacks or jeans, they're so long. you have to wear a big chunky shoe, and I don't do that anymore.
No.
You know? So now we just have to, I don't know.
I have the same problem.
Cut them. That must be really long on you. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not that short.
Well, I'm 5'8".
Well, I'm not
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm just a blue-eyed babe who's 5'2".
Yeah, 5'2". Speaking of height, we went to see a show in Waterbury, Connecticut yesterday called Tina. And it was all about the life of Tina Turner. It was fabulous.
She was big.
It was Broadway quality all the way. This girl can sing. Oh, my goodness.
She was great.
So Tina Turner was always famous for her legs.
Yep.
Do you know how tall she was?
No.
5'4".
She's a little thing.
5'4".
That's all right. If you got them, you got them.
I just didn't. I thought she was about 5'9", 5'10".
Oh.
But no, it was a very good show. It's doing a national tour. If you get a chance to see it,
I loved her.
All right.
It rains red in some parts of the world.
Where?
Red rain, also known as blood rain, occurs when high concentrations of colored dust or particles carried from deserts mix with rain, altering its hue. Experts say red rain happens a few times a year in the UK, and more commonly in countries such as Spain and the south of France, which are closer to the Sahara Desert. Blood rain has also shown up in countries in Asia and the Middle East.
I'll be darned.
Can you imagine?
No.
Scary. Woo.
Yeah. I wonder if it's really red or if it's just a tint of red, like a hue. Not really red.
Well, there's a pink lake. So
there's a pink lake.
Maybe there's a red river.
There is. Maybe there's a red river. So I went on a website called ef.edu, and I looked up 50 unbelievable facts about the world to make you seem cultured.
Now that I want to know.
All right. So, says, have you ever sat around the table with your friends and your family and having lunch or dinner, and you were powerless as the conversation slowly turned to the topic of culture or art or the world, and you're just sitting there going,
personally, no.
Ah, fine. Okay, to all of you others, don't panic. Arm yourself with some unbelievable facts. All right. First, you need to build a presence. So there's body language involved when you're building this presence and making yourself look cultured while you're sitting there with these people. So the body language they tell you to start with is purse your lips, pout a little. There's four steps. You purse your lips. And you raise one eyebrow. That's good. You lift your Coca-Cola and you swill it around your glass, showing your sophistication. You swill your Coca-Cola. Finally, the last thing you do, you lean back slightly in your chair, indicating that you are at ease with yourself.
Good Lord.
So it's pursing the lips. I can't raise one eyebrow. You can. Okay. Purse the lips, raise the eyebrow, lift your Coca-Cola and swirl it and lean back in your chair as if you are cultured.
It wouldn't be a Coca-Cola.
And then you spill out the following facts that will follow.
Okay. Give us the first one.
Okay. The deepest place on Earth is the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It's 36,201 feet deep.
Wow.
You know, that's almost 7 miles.
Ooh.
I did that with pursed lips.
I saw that. Very good. Do you know that the Beatles officially broke up at Disney World?
I heard that.
Although they had unofficially gone their separate ways in 1970, the Beatles' legal dissolution didn't occur until December 29, 1974, when John Lennon signed the official paperwork while vacationing at Walt Disney.
Had to be a weird day for them, or was it weirder for us?
Weirder for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
They're breaking up. Why are they breaking up?
Yeah. I thought it was a marketing thing. I thought it was a...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the news. And it wasn't, obviously. Yeah. Who else broke up that I... Oh, Sonny and Cher.
They broke up.
Yeah, they broke up big time. So do you want to impress your people at the table? Purse your lips and say, the longest river in the world is the Nile. It's clocking at 6,853 kilometers in length. Its water sources are shared by 11 different countries, too, you know.
Depending on what you're talking about, everybody else there.
I know.
Something like that sounds like, which encyclopedia did you read today?
Or what are you talking about? We're not even talking about that at all. You just pulled that out of the air? Because you'll probably have a little cheat sheet. I would have to. On your lap under the table. Yes?
Hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it.
A little cheat.
A New York City restaurant sells a $2,700 pizza.
What's on it?
On it is, which you have to order 2 days in advance. It's topped with 24 karat gold leaves, Stilton blue cheese, Hudson Valley foie gras, platinum oyster caviar, French Perigord truffle, and Almas caviar, which is optional for an extra $700.
The caviar?
Yes.
You can leave that off of mine.
It's an Industry Kitchen, the name of the restaurant, and it's located at New York City's South Street Seaport. It holds the Guinness record for offering the world's most expensive pizza.
And it's $2,000.
$2,700.
$2,700.
Yep.
Almost I would imagine
3,000.
The gold is edible. The gold leaf, is it edible? No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
That's a lot of leaves.
Yeah. I wonder how many they sell.
Not too many.
Would you take a bite of it?
No.
I would. I wouldn't want to eat the gold.
The blue cheese sounds okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. What was before the blue cheese? It was something, a color.
24 karat gold leaves. And then,
the
Stilton blue cheese.
Blue cheese.
Hudson Valley foie gras.
So foie gras is some duck liver?
Don't know.
Yeah. No. Okay. I think I might pass. Yeah. Let's talk about pineapple.
Ooh.
You can tell people as you're pursing. Pineapples take 2 years to grow, you know.
It's what now?
2 years to grow a pineapple.
Wow.
Now, the problem with all of these is if someone challenges you and says something like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
What's the process?
Yeah.
How do they plant pineapples?
Why do I care?
How do they pick pineapples? Where do most pineapples grow? And then you're stuck. That's when you have to go excuse yourself to go to the boudoir.
Get another cheat sheet. Okay.
Okay. Oh, another one? Oh, I don't like that one. See, it's a good thing we can pick and choose what we want to say. Salvador Mundi by Leonardo da Vinci is the most expensive painting in the world.
Ooh.
Want to just take a guess?
Is he naked?
No, how much the painting is? Where did that come from? $450 million.
Ooh, I had the number four, but I wasn't going that
Salvador
far.
Salvador Mundi. I'll look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he is.
So, maybe.
A bear became a corporal in World War II. During World War II, members of the Polish Army's 22nd Artillery Supply adopted a bear cub named Wojciech. The soldiers looked out for him and even gave him the rank of a private. In 1944, Wojciech returned the favor, helping to move ammunition during the Battle of Monte Cassino in Italy. For Wojciech's service and bravery, he was promoted to the rank of corporal.
Corporal? I didn't hear a word you said. Because I was looking up Salvador Monday.
I know.
But I'm sure what you said was just...
Dandy. Mm-hmm.
It's Christ. It's the painting of Christ.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Nope, I didn't either.
It's a depiction of what Christ might look like.
For real?
Well, what it might look like. And it's Oh, there's the original. Oh, it's got scratches on it and all. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, it says here, it's the most expensive, and it was painted in between 1499 and 1510.
By?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Ah, yeah.
It depicts Jesus Christ in blue Renaissance attire. Why do they say... signaling his role as Salvador Mundi and representing the celestial sphere of the heavens.
Hmm.
Didn't know that.
Nope. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a pretty picture.
Yeah. All right. Oh, get this, everybody. 92% of the world's currency is digital.
I believe it. I really do. Because I don't really use cash anymore.
Neither do I. Yeah. And there's times when you can't use cash.
Right. And there's times where you can't use card either.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right. Cash only. And they say there's an ATM around the corner, down the street, then take a left, and then go to the next light. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you know there's an underwater post office in the South Pacific?
Oh, cool.
Situated off the coast of Hideaway Island Resort and Marine Sanctuary is the Vanuatu, V-A-N-U-A-T-U, post, the world's only under-the-sea post office. Vacationers who want to send a waterproof postcard home can snorkel or scuba dive 10 feet below the ocean surface. A special flag is raised above the water to indicate when postal workers are in the water.
How far under is it, did it say?
10 feet below the ocean surface.
10 feet below the ocean's surface.
So you have to be a real... snorkeler or scuba diver.
But it's only 10 feet below the top of the water.
Yeah.
So, is it a building?
Actually, there was a picture of it, and it looked like... You remember in Charlie Peanut?
Yes.
The little stand that she had?
Yes, a psychiatrist stand.
It's kind of like that.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would snorkel down to see that. So the person that's working down there is in snorkel gear.
Probably with a thing of ice oxygen next to her.
I would really have to look up pictures of that. I wouldn't want to work there.
No.
But I would visit. So if your group is talking about people and countries, you can always say things like King Henry the 567th of England had servants called grooms of stool.
Ooh.
Who wiped him clean.
Ooh.
After he visited the toilette.
Yuck.
Gross.
Yuck.
I can't even fathom.
He was a big fat man, too.
Was he?
I can't.
Maybe he couldn't
reach.
I guess.
I don't know. That could be.
Yeah, that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
You could also say the longest running monarch ever was Louis XIV of France. He ruled for 72 years.
Wow.
110 days. That's exhausting.
That's exhausting.
Absolutely exhausting. Little Louis. Oh, there's another little tidbit you can share with people.
Martin Luther King Jr. paid Julia Roberts' hospital bill. In 1967, MLK Jr. and Coretta Scott King covered the cost of Julia Roberts' hospital birth. It turns out Roberts' parents couldn't afford the bill, and the King's gesture was a heartfelt payback. Julia's parents, who ran a theater school in Atlanta, welcomed the King children as students when they had trouble finding a place that would accept them because they were black.
Well, that is a huge piece of trivia.
Isn't that? I don't think you'd hear that on the street.
That's really a great story.
Yeah.
I wonder if she uses that ever when she's interviewed or if she's written any memoirs or...
She was there.
Well, she... right. I wonder what she remembers. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. I saw a really good movie last night.
Yeah.
Called The Grace Card.
The Grace Card?
The Grace Card.
Card.
The Grace Card.
Okay.
Really good. And I thought of it because of what you just said, that you just never know how things are going to work. This family who had the theater company invited these children, never had any idea how this was going to unfold later when they had their baby and they got it paid for. This movie, The Grace Card, is similar to that.
Oh, my gosh.
Where things happened. There's a couple of twists where things happen that you thought all was doomed and...
Movies have to have twists, otherwise they're
twists.
Just boring.
I can't think of any right now, but I've seen some that I'm sitting there and I can't even believe the twist. And then the cool thing is when there's another twist.
That's books I like that.
Yeah. And you probably can't stop reading because
you're
going, what?
I didn't read a book while I did my wreaths.
Well, I hope not.
No, I mean in the whole time I was working there.
Oh, you mean all the time it took to make five, you didn't stop? Yeah. Hobbies are like that. Okay. Here's a no way really category in what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Whether you're pursing your lips and you're sitting backwards and you're swirling your Coke and raising up your eyebrow. When you do a Google search, 1,000 computers are used to find the answer in 0.2 seconds.
Is that all?
I know. It doesn't seem very much like very much, does it?
Oh.
And it's I can't stop thinking about using these things and then being challenged by someone to say, oh, really?
Tell me more.
Yeah. Then you're stuck or you make things up.
I would tell them the story of my UNIVAC.
Tell me.
When I was in the service, I had to work with a computer that was as big as this room. Called UNIVAC 9000.
Isn't that insane?
Any of you guys out there remember that?
So that's probably in a lot of old movies. They have a whole room full of computers, like on Star Trek.
This was one computer all by itself.
And that took up a whole room?
Took up a whole room. You had 10 different ways to push buttons and stuff to turn it on and make it work. I loved it.
Oh, cool.
Had fun. Women in Allied countries wore red lipstick because Hitler hated it. Hitler specifically had a thing against red lipstick, according to British journalist Madeleine Marsh, author of Compacts and Cosmetics, Beauty from the Victorian Times to the Present Day. In response, women in aligned Allied countries and in the resistance proudly wore red lipstick as a sign of defiance.
Did you ever wear red lipstick?
I don't look good in red.
I don't either. I tried.
That's too much.
Pink? Nope. Bright colors?
I can do pink.
Bright pink?
Not bright, bright pink.
Yeah, do you remember...
Matte.
Do you remember white lipstick?
No.
When I was in junior high, it was white lipstick, and it wasn't shiny.
Ooh.
We all wore 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade. We all wore white lipstick, and if we did wear any makeup, we wore blue eyeshadow.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, and it was definitely white lipstick. I wish I had pictures of that.
I have never, ever seen anybody with white. I've seen the one where got milk.
No, this is on the lips. And we will be back after
the break.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
And we're back.
We are.
And we are stuff.
And we are front and sides, and top and bottom. And,
and we are here every Thursday morning at 8:30 in the morning. If you didn't hear it the first time, WTBR 89.7 FM.
Here are the true or false. There's one true and two false. The blue whale is the biggest animal to have ever lived, number one. Number two, when you cross a horse with a zebra, it's called a hobra. And cauliflower is the only vegetable that's also a flower.
The only what?
Vegetable.
Vegetable? All righty. You think you know the answer? Good.
Keep it to yourself.
good for you. So I'm switching out here.
Okay.
I found on MSN.com sneaky tactics that restaurants use to scam customers.
Really?
And it's incredibly effective.
Goodness.
It says dining out should feel like a treat, but sometimes what looks like a simple meal comes with hidden tactics designed to make you spend more money. Many restaurants use psychological strategies that push diners towards certain decisions without them even realizing it.
Like what?
Here are some of them. The pressure of quick decisions.
Ah.
Studies show that most people choose their meal within 90 seconds of opening a menu. Restaurants know this and design the menu to take advantage of that very short decision-making window, nudging customers toward profitable options before they've had time to think twice. And they do that mostly with pictures, bold lettering, larger fonts.
Just to make it easy for you.
Yes, and probably the little specials card. But I know photographs of food is very effective for me.
Well, what helps me is because I'm a vegetarian, because then they have to stop and think.
Aha. But and let you know what they have?
I pretty much know what I want before I get there.
Well, that's something they tell you to do in this article.
Ah.
To kind of know.
Look up the menu.
Yeah.
Did you, when you went to Paris, did you get disappointed or get sick or whatever?
I did not get sick or disappointed.
No?
No.
It was a great time?
Yeah, it was.
When visiting Paris for the first time fails to live up to someone's high expectations, it can bring on something called the Paris Syndrome. A real psychological condition, Paris Syndrome can cause symptoms such as vomiting, nausea, increased heart rate, dizziness. Interestingly enough, it appears to affect Japanese tourists in greater numbers. Reasons for the disillusionment may be culture shock and clashes, and the way Japanese pop culture portrays Paris as a picture of perfection.
And they get that sick?
They get that sick.
I've never heard of that before. I have traveled with someone that got sick in two different countries with those symptoms.
Oh, my gosh.
Who knew?
Ooh.
Have you ever had that happen?
I've never been to Paris.
Well, anywhere you've gone? Maybe it can be anywhere.
Not really.
That you think is perfection.
Ireland is wonderful.
Yeah. I had a dream last week that I went to Ireland. Isn't that strange?
No, isn't it wonderful?
It was beautiful. And I've never been there, so I don't even know where the beauty, well, pictures probably that I've seen.
It is green. It is very, very green.
It was really pretty. I don't remember any of the other details, but all right. Playing hide and seek with prices. You'll understand in a second. Because I wondered why they do this. So I won't wait. So have you ever been to a restaurant where they don't have a dollar sign next to the price for the food?
Yeah.
Or up on the board?
Yeah.
That you choose from a deli? This is why. Many upscale restaurants intentionally leave out currency symbols, like a dollar sign.
I've seen that.
And it's not always in an upscale place that I've seen this in.
Right.
When prices are shown, they're often tucked away in unusual places on the page. The idea is simple. Get diners to focus on the dish itself rather than the cost, making it easier to justify a splurge.
Yeah, and then when you see something that you really think you want, it's hard to make you not want it
right. Because
of the price.
And I like it says to justify a splurge, because I'm sure there's times where you say, well, I really don't want to spend that much. But, you know, look at that picture or look at how they worded it and then you get it and it's a disappointment.
You don't go back.
Man.
Did you know that Judy Garland's Dorothy was originally a blonde in The Wizard of Oz?
No.
In his book, Baum's original book, Dorothy's hair is blonde. Though MGM production staff put Garland in a long blonde wig and heavier makeup, temporary director George Cukor nixed the idea, believing she looked too artificial and sophisticated to be a rural farm girl.
I agree, don't you?
Oh, very much so.
Wasn't Shirley Temple up for that part?
I don't know.
I think maybe.
I think, or maybe she would have been too bouncy.
Yeah. Or maybe she had the teal-colored eyes.
Elizabeth Taylor?
Elizabeth Taylor. I'm thinking that maybe she was also up for that part.
Hmm.
Judy Garland was perfect for that part.
She was. I mean, she could sing.
Yeah. So, this is called anchoring with expensive options. So you have the menu, and it says menus frequently include one extremely high-priced dish. Few customers order it, but it's a real purpose. The real purpose is to make everything seem affordable.
Next to it. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Everything else seems affordable by comparison. This technique, known as anchoring, is one of the most effective tricks in pricing psychology. We are puppets.
That's pretty sad.
Makes me want to eat at home.
I know. It's making me want to go to a restaurant just to check it out.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
In Sweden. Did I interrupt something?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
In Sweden, Cool Ranch Doritos are called Cool American. Swedish people don't know what ranch flavor is, so the product goes by the name of Cool American instead.
They don't know what ranch dressing is?
Guess not.
Wow. Mark and I were just talking about this yesterday, this kind of thing, where you think, you know, we live in this spot.
Yeah.
And that there's so much more out there where it's everybody lives different, everybody in this in things like that where they don't even know and we don't know things that they have, like what is the English thing? Bubble and squeak. What is bubble and squeak?
I have no idea.
So on the menu, they use the power of descriptive language.
Okay.
Have you ever noticed how appealing some dish names sound? That's intentional. A vivid description like buttery, herb-crusted salmon doesn't just describe the food. It makes it feel more valuable, persuading diners that they're getting something extra special. Creamy.
Like the pan-seared thing.
Pan-seared, yeah. Pan-crusted. Toasted almond-crusted with smooth, creamy hollandaise.
Oh.
You know, really? Now, it's better than I said salmon and hollandaise and pecans or pecans. Are they pecans or pecans? Are they pecans or are they pecans?
Pecan. You say pecan, you put it under your bed.
I know. That descriptive language thing.
It's an eye-opener.
Yeah.
McDonald's once sold a Hawaiian burger.
Ah.
The Hula Burger, which came on the scene in the early 1960s, consisted of a slice of grilled pineapple and cheese on a bun.
Mmm.
Created by McDonald's, it was offered as an alternative for Catholics who didn't eat meat on Fridays. But the Hula Burger never caught on, nor could it compete with the other meatless option, Filet-O-Fish.
Yeah.
Was quickly discontinued.
Yeah. I don't think I would order that.
Piece of pineapple and cheese on a bun. No.
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 No. Nostalgia on the menu. Restaurants often use emotional hooks to draw customers in. References to home, family, tradition, like grandma's fresh apple pie, tap into memory and comfort. But the story can be misleading, as that pie may well have come from a freezer rather than a family oven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say more times than not.
I knew someone who worked somewhere. And the advertisement was freshly baked cookies. Well, they came in frozen and they were put in the oven. So they were freshly baked.
So but if you think lie.
Right. The other one was home style apple pie, freshly baked apple pie. Same thing. Came in frozen. They just shoved it in the oven.
Isn't home style where they put everything on the table and you take what you need?
I think that's family style.
Family style?
Yeah, where they put everything.
Oh.
Yeah, but okay. If you hear freshly baked cookie, you're at least in my mind, I think they make them here.
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm.
Mm.
Mood lighting in Japan's train stations helps curb suicides.
Oh.
Blue lights on train platforms in Japan have been shown to reduce the chance someone will jump in front of a speeding train. In fact, one study in the Journal of Affective Disorders found blue lighting reduced suicide attempts by 84%. It's believed blue registers as a calming color associated with the sky and sea.
Wow.
Makes me want to have everything this light blue color in my house.
Light blue light bulbs?
You could probably do with that.
Oh. Oh. So, you wonder how they...
Well, they say blue lights. I don't know how light they are.
So, if they're blue, what do they talk to people at the train station to find out that they were going to and they changed their mind?
I don't know, but that's a good point.
How do they know?
Maybe they just accidentally tried the blue lights and all of a sudden it stopped.
Maybe the research was just two people.
Well, I don't think that's for me today.
Yeah. The tip jar illusion. Oh.
Where they put it half full?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Uh-huh. A jar brimming with cash near the register can create subtle social pressure. In some cases, the staff seeds the jar with their own bills to encourage customers to add more. It's not illegal, but it does play on people's instinct to follow the crowd. Never felt that?
Yes.
Yeah. And now when you pay a bill, they turn the thing around and it says tip.
Yeah, they tell you how much to tip.
And you think, well, wait, all you did was let me pay for my stick of gum.
That'll be $2 extra.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that Tom Hanks and Mr. Rogers are distant cousins?
Really?
Tom Hanks played Fred Rogers in the 2019 film A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, but their connection didn't stop there. An Ancestry.com dig into their family trees found the two are actually sixth cousins who share a 5 times great-grandfather. What's more, they're also both descendants from two American brothers who fought in the Revolutionary War.
I'll be darned. And he did a great job on that movie.
Did it for his cousin.
He did a great job on it. He's such a good actor. We've talked about Tom Hanks before.
He and Streep.
Meryl Streep.
They can do anything.
Anything. Anything. Good for them. Any movie they've ever been in is so good.
Yep.
So when the server asks if you want water, it's tap or sparkling. The question sounds so innocent, but it's a sales tactic. Many diners end up ordering bottled water, sometimes multiple bottles, without considering that tap water was always an option.
Uh-huh.
So I have had that. Would you like? I've had them say bottled or tap. I've had them say tap or sparkling. I've had them say bottled or sparkling.
Oh. I don't think I've ever heard them say sparkling.
Yeah, I've heard sparkling.
I think I would ask them. Well, what's the difference?
It's fizzy. But I don't like drinking fizzy things when I eat a meal because it fills me up.
Yeah.
And I'm not a soda drinker, so I wouldn't even drink sparkling because it's bubbles in my tummy.
Gotcha.
Filling me up so I can't have dessert. Gotta have dessert.
U.S. coins used to say, mind your business. The first U.S. coin in circulation said, mind your business, instead of in God we trust. Benjamin Franklin was responsible for coming up with the initial motto, but the wording changed to God in trust, in God we trust, during the Civil War, mainly as a response to increased religious sentiment, according to Snopes.
Mind your business?
Mind your business.
Why?
It's probably saying not go mind your business, like go mind your own business. It's probably like you have a business, mind your business.
Oh, mind your business.
Yep.
Oh, like mind your tongue. Like, I never thought of that. I thought mind your business, like don't look at my money.
Yeah.
Mind your business. Take care of your business.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. You go in a restaurant. There's background music. Music in restaurants isn't chosen at random.
Could have fooled me.
Slow tunes during quiet times encourage customers to linger and order more, while fast-paced music during busy hours helps move people along quickly, keeping the tables turning.
I can see that.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a restaurant and they've asked you to leave because you've been there too long and they have people waiting?
No, but close. I can see people looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've never had that happen to me, but I've seen it happen to other people in a restaurant where they've been sitting for a very long time talking, just talking and talking, and their meal is done and they've paid and it was not a pretty scene.
Mm.
No, they were not happy. But, you know, you have to have some consideration, really.
Yeah.
If it's really, really busy and you've been there for a long time.
It can take a long time to close up.
Yeah. Or there's people waiting.
Yeah.
And they need to turn the tables. You can't just sit there after you've paid and you're just sitting there talking.
You didn't buy the table.
Yes. You're not renting the space.
In Delaware. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I found it. In Delaware, you can get your marriage annulled if it was a joke. If either or both spouses tied the knot in jest or as part of a dare in Delaware, the marriage can be annulled. You just need to file within 90 days of learning the nuptials weren't on the up and up. This isn't the only surprising marriage law in the U.S., and maybe I'll look some of those up for you.
I wonder if this is the same if you've been drinking. If you're
drunk and you get married.
And you get married. And you kind of didn't know.
Then you wake up and you say.
And you wake up.
Oh, the hangover is here.
So here's one more.
Okay.
A strategic menu layout. Menu design is a science. The upper right corner of a menu is prime real estate, and restaurants often place their most profitable dishes there. Eye-catching fonts, boxes, shading also highlight the meals they most want to sell.
Ah, that's why you don't get a cheeseburger picture.
Isn't that something? Mm. It's all psychological. We're all...
That's not fair. Did you guess the true or false?
I can't find the paper I wrote them down on. You're going to have to repeat them.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Number one.
Where I put that?
The blue whale is the biggest animal to have ever lived. When you cross a horse with a zebra, it's called a hobra. And cauliflower is the only vegetable that's also a flower.
So I think number three is false. I don't think cauliflower is the only... I don't even know if cauliflower is a flower. But I know there's other vegetables like broccoli that flower. So I'm going to cross that one out. That's false.
Very good. Very good.
All right.
You got that.
The horse and the zebra, I've never heard of that. So I'm going to say that that's false. The blue whale I'm going to choose is true.
Yeah. Yay. She got it right. They weigh up to 300,000 pounds and can be over 100 feet long, and they're bigger than any dinosaur that ever lived.
That's a lot of blubber.
And when you cross a horse with a zebra, a male zebra and a female horse make a zorse, while a female zebra and a male horse make a zonkey. Doesn't say whether or not they can breed.
Never heard of any of those. What about the cauliflower?
Cauliflower is not the only vegetable that's a flower. It does mention broccoli.
Uh-huh. I know this because I fail at growing broccoli every year. It grows up into this tall thing, and there's these beautiful yellow flowers that come out of these little tiny green things, and they're edible. So that's a broccoli flower. You can eat it.
That would have been, yeah.
It looks really pretty in a salad. And it tastes like broccoli. So my failures have turned into flowers. And that's our show for today. We hope to hear you, or you hope to hear us, or we hope you hear us every Thursday at 8:30.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.